Sacred mysteries, let us call to mind our sins and let us seek our God's mercy and our God's forgiveness. Lord Jesus, you are the glory of the saints. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting. Let us pray. God our Father, you made Saint Benedict an outstanding guide to teach man how to live in your service. Grant that by preferring your love to everything else, we may walk in the way of your commandments. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Proverbs. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands, turning your ear to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call to intelligence and to understanding, raise your voice. If you seek her like silver, and like hidden treasures, search her out. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. The knowledge of God you will find. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He has counsel in store for the upright. He is the shield of those who walk honestly, guarding the paths of justice, protecting the way of his pious ones. Then you will understand rectitude and justice, honesty, every good path. The word of the Lord. And our response to our psalm is, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear and be glad. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy, and your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress he saved him. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and delivers them. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Blessed the man who takes refuge in him. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Fear the Lord, you his holy ones, for naught is lacking to those who fear him. The great grow poor and hungry, but those who seek the Lord want for no good thing. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord.
Gospel according to Matthew. Peter said to Jesus, "We have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters, or father or mother, or children or lands, for the sake of my name, will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. The Gospel of the Lord. Today we celebrate the memorial of Saint Benedict. I think he probably needs not a whole lot of introduction. Most of us have had some sort of experience with the huge effect this single solitary man has had, not just in Christian history, but just in history alone. Primarily the way that we have felt his effect in the world is through the Benedictine order, which numbers somewhere in the neighborhood of about 8,500 members at this point in time across the globe. It was not always such a reality. Benedict desired to be closer to God. That's the best way of putting it. He chose and tried to strive to be closer to God, and so he decided he wanted to go off in some quiet and solitude and to live the Christian life as best he could. The problem was, which really wasn't a problem, but the problem was is that even though he wanted to be more in solitude, his life in striving to live out the Christian life in heroic ways attracted others. So much for his solitude. And so as he strove to become a holier person and to live in heroic ways Christian life, he ended up gathering up companions. First he filled up one monastery, then another, and then another, and then another. I think they estimate that during his lifetime, there ended up being established somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 or 8 Benedictine monasteries following his rule. And so he is also known as the father of Western monasticism. The reason why the Benedictine order grew to such proportions, I believe, is that he lived the Christian life with heroic proportions. Christ said that if he be lifted up, he would draw all to himself. And by his striving to live the Christian life in heroic ways, Benedict lifted Christ up, and it drew people to Christ. That's what happened. It is disturbing to me that in the place where Benedict established these monasteries, that the Christian life is in many ways dwindling. That's in the area that we sometimes call the first world, primarily in Europe. That world is marked by great luxury and very much, very prosperous. And I think it points out something. Why is it that the Christian life seems to be dwindling in those areas? Well, if heroic living of the Christian life drew people to Christ, what would be the answer then as to why people are not being drawn to Christ? Could it be that the Christian life is not being lived in heroic ways, or at least striven after with due diligence and priority? I think the answer is yes, that's probably what's happening. I think what has happened is that In the first world, our own country included, we live in such incredible freedom and in such incredible luxury that sometimes we forget the priorities of life. And we can learn something primarily from the gospel, but then also the way that it was put into practice by Benedict then on this day. So in the first world, many times what happens is that luxuries and freedom, not in the sense of dependence upon God, which is ultimate freedom, but freedom in the sense of licentiousness, ends up being embraced as the first priority. How can I get more free time? How can I get more of the goods of the earth so that I can sit in a cushy lifestyle? These things become priorities even over other blessings that God might have in store for us in life, like spouse and children. And so when priorities get mixed up in life, what happens? The things that really matter get devalued. And so what do we see in the first world? A rise in abortions, a rise in the divorce rate, a decline in the number of people who practice the faith, such that in France, I think that the estimate right now is somewhere in the neighborhood of 2% of a country that is claimed to be like 80% Catholic. Even in Spain, where our Holy Father has recently visited, it's a country that is 90% Catholic. And now they say that where it once was, like in the 70s, where probably 60 to 70% of people practiced the faith, it's now down to 25%. Even in our own country, the reality is, well, this sounds very grim, doesn't it? The reality is much the same. And so I think we have to ask, what's afoot here? I really don't think that it's that people have become so terribly bad. It's just that they have fallen asleep. It's a difference, huh? It's a matter of awareness. And so in that sleeping state, many times what has happened is that priorities have gotten mixed up. The priority is set on self and self-satisfaction. The problem is that when we set our sights on that, we're never self-satisfied. We can never be happy because Christ, who is happiness itself, he came not to be served, but to serve, to live his life for the other. In fact, as ransom for the many. And so happiness comes not in living life for self, but living life for the other. Priorities, my dear friends in Christ. The gospel then points out those priorities that Benedict lived out, the priorities that those who are Christian are to live in heroic ways as Benedict did. It's interesting. What does Jesus say? Peter, with all due respect to the first pope and the prince of the apostles, he's whining. Oh, Jesus, we've given up everything to follow you. What do we get out of this deal? Jesus understands the human spirit, you know? We need something to spur us on. And so he answers back. Amen, I say to you, you who have followed me, you who have given up houses or brothers and sisters, father or mother or children or lands, will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. What more could you ask? Although I think the thing is that we, hearing this, we say, wait a minute, does that mean that we have to, and boy, this does not do a mother's heart good. Does that mean that we have to abandon our children? Wait a minute. To give up brothers and sisters, mother and father, does that mean that we have to disown our families? Is that what it takes to live out a heroic life for God? And I think the thing is that the answer is kind of surprising. The answer is no. And yes, that's a celibate who has pledged his life to celibacy for the sake of the kingdom of God saying that. The answer is no. What is Jesus emphasizing for us? I think it's that pecking order of priorities. What is more important than brother and sister, mother and father, children and lands? God is more important. Am I saying that God is more important for those of you who are here who are married? Am I saying that God is more important than your spouse? Yes, I'm saying that. That is what God, what is Jesus is emphasizing for us. For you parents out there, am I saying that God is more important than your children? Yes! I'm saying God is more important than your children. For those of you who are living in this association of the faithful, am I saying that God is more important than the other members of this association and the association itself? Yes! God is more important than that. Anything in this world, and even those in the next that are not God, are less important than God. God is, and we are called to have God as our first and foremost priority in our life. There is no other. It is the first of the great commandments given to us. We are to love God above all else, with all our mind, with all our heart, with all our soul. This is the first and the greatest of the commandments. And we need to live it in heroic ways such that Christ is lifted up and others are drawn to him. But how does that happen in the concrete reality of our lives? How do we place God first? The way that we do that is by living our concrete individual lives in the most faithful way that we can, just where we are. So if you are a spouse, you are called to live your dedication to God, your priorities set on God, by living as a spouse in the most faithful way that you possibly can. In heroic ways, being dedicated to the one whom God has given you as a great gift in your life. Even at the times when they are a thorn in the flesh. And you who are parents out there, you are to live your life as faithfully as you possibly can, sharing your faith with your children and living faithfully as one who is a parent to your children as best you possibly can. And by doing that, you are dedicating your life to God as well. For those of you who live in this association, you live your dedication to God by living out your life as a member of this association as faithfully and as best as you possibly can, in heroic ways, even when the other members are a pain in the neck. Remaining faithful to the way of life that God has called you to. For in living that life faithfully, you give glory to God. Living that life as God has called you to is setting your priority on God as the number one in your life. We are called to live our lives as Christians, blooming where God has planted us in heroic ways so that others are drawn to Christ, whom we lift up by living life faithfully. That's what Benedict did, and it drew others to the faith. Now,
I think at this point in time, we might all say, wait a minute, Benedict's a saint after all. He had special graces from God. What did he have? Baptism, which incorporated him into the body of Christ. Confirmation, which ignited in a full way the Spirit of God given to him at baptism, so that he might indeed be a witness to the faith and have the strength of the Spirit to live that faith. And the Eucharist, so that he might continue to grow as a member of the body of Christ, be more perfectly with each and every passing day integrated into that body more perfectly. Baptism, confirmation, Eucharist. He had the gift of the sacrament of reconciliation by which he knew God's forgiveness for him and continued to draw him to the way of perfection and holiness. He had companions on the journey of the Christian faith. Benedict had the same things that we have. And so we too are empowered to live heroic lives of Christianity, such that we draw others more deeply on that same journey, calling them and drawing them. And by living those lives where we are in heroic ways, and everyday faithfulness, that's heroic, everyday faithfulness, we progress on the way of holiness, which at the end of our days will end like Benedict's, truly in saintly lives and ultimately in the glories of heaven. And so as we receive the Lord present to us here and now, in one another, in the word that is proclaimed, and preeminently in the sacrament that we celebrate and share, let us truly ask God to give us the courage to live our lives as Christians in heroic ways, so that the world might be transformed by the body of Christ.
In faith and confidence, let us pray. For the church, that we who are gathered here, and for all the faithful throughout the world, that we will live our everyday lives with heroic faithfulness, we pray to the Lord. For all those who have grown lukewarm in the faith, that the Holy Spirit will reignite the faith in their hearts and in the depths of their souls, so that they might truly burn and yearn for Christ and live lives that are faithful and true, we pray to the Lord. For all those who are on the margins of the faith, especially those who are there because they do not know their faith, that the Lord will give them teachers and preachers and companions, so that they might be drawn more deeply into the faith, we pray to the Lord. For all those places where the faith seems to be waning, that indeed people who live their lives of Christianity in heroic proportions may arise there and be seen, so that the faith might continue to grow, we pray to the Lord. And for what else shall we pray this day?
Also the territory, the people of the world, may
those who have died and those who will die this day, that they will see God face to face in the heavenly kingdom. We pray to the Lord. Gracious and loving God, giver of every good and perfect gift, in your mercy and love, hear these our prayers and answer them through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us proclaim the mystery of
faith. Christ is God. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Lord, may this sacrifice, which has made our peace with you, advance the peace and salvation. Teaching of Saint Benedict, may we be faithful in doing your work and in loving our brothers and sisters in true charity. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Lord.
Let us pray. so